here we are this evening, ready to take up the third commandment. And thus far, we have understood that a healthy and growing congregation, following the Lord's leading, embraces the one living and true God and loves Him with all of our being. And therefore, we delight to worship the triune God the way He wants to be worshiped. And now this evening, we want to learn how it is that we're able to honor Him with our lips and with our lives. We want to learn about godly speech. So we'll again turn our attention to the fifth chapter of Deuteronomy. And I'll read for us the first 21 verses of that chapter. And I recognize that since this is the third time, we're probably becoming rather familiar with these 10 words, as they're called. But let's, nevertheless, pay attention as the Lord would speak to us. And Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes, the rules that I speak in your hearing today. You shall learn them and be careful to do them. The Lord your God made a covenant with us in Horeb. Not with our fathers did the Lord make this covenant, but with us, who are all of us here alive today. The Lord spoke with you face to face at the mountain out of the midst of the fire, while I stood between the Lord and you at that time to declare to you the word of the Lord. For you were afraid because of the fire, and you did not go up into the mountain. He said, 'I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is on the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant, or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. The Lord brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And you shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not desire your neighbor's house, his field, or his male servant, or his female servant, his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's.'" Let's look to the Lord together in prayer. Father, we again thank you for the salvation that we enjoy in Jesus Christ. We thank you that in that salvation you instruct us as to how we might live in the freedom that is ours because of his work in our behalf. And so as we work out our salvation with fear and trembling, we pray that you would indeed be at work within us both to will and to do according to your good pleasure. And as we consider this evening this third commandment concerning godly speech, that we would be encouraged. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. For quite some time, After I became a Christian, I was really impressed with how fast my mouth was no longer foul. It wasn't long after I embraced Jesus Christ that my foul mouth seemed to be cleaned up. I wasn't given to using those despicable four-letter words that so punctuate the conversation of so many people in our land. And I suppose one of the hardest things for me to put up with and to experience is, as I was back seeing my father, to hear him use those four-letter words that we used to have our mouths washed out with soap if we used them. It's sad to see someone's mind go in such a way that that's the kind of thing that comes out. But you know, as I found myself less and less using those kinds of words in my vocabulary and in my conversation, I began to feel pretty good about myself. And I suspect any of you who have dealt with having to clean up your mouth, you felt pretty good about yourself once it seemed as though you've conquered it and you no longer found yourself using those words. And you remember what happened when that became the case. You started looking down your nose, as I did, at those who had a dirty mouth. Those who use those kind of words that you no longer use, and you wonder, how is it that you can use those words when it's so easy not to? My mouth is no longer a cesspool in my estimation, and when I heard other mouths that sounded like cesspools, it only made me feel better than the other person. I'm persuaded that that was wrong. I'm persuaded that godly speech is far more than cleaning up our mouths and the cesspool language that we find all around us and maybe some of us used to be involved with. As a healthy and growing congregation following the Lord's leading honors Yahweh with our lips and our lives. And so this evening we want to just take a snapshot at what that might look like. So the first thing that we want to do is look at the wrong use of the name. Look at the wrong use of the name. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And we're told many places in the Old Testament that we are to make no mention of the name of other gods, or let them be heard from your mouth. It makes sense, doesn't it, that we would keep our mouths free of the names of non-gods. And we do that because that's exactly what they are. They are non-gods. And so why would we have their names cross our lips? And it's because of that that Orthodox Jews have said that we ought not to take the tetragrammaton upon our lips. And so when you hear a rabbi reading the scriptures, they come to that word in our translations that has a capital L and a capital O and a capital R and a capital D. They'll say Adon, because they won't pronounce the that's wrong to speak the name of the Lord. And yet it's that very name, you remember, that the Lord speaking out of that bush that wasn't being consumed said to Moses when Moses asked him, well, what name shall I say is yours? as you've sent me. Tell them, Yahweh. But more than that, do you remember when Elijah was on Mount Carmel? And what was he doing there? Well, he was in combat, wasn't he, with am I allowed to say the name? Of course, I'm allowed to say the name. With the prophets of Baal. When it came time to cry out for the sacrifice to the living God to be consumed, what was it? Yahweh! Going to consider the wrong use of the name, we have to realize that speaking the name of another god or speaking the tetragrammaton is not that which is being forbidden here. But really what's being forbidden here is the intent with which those names would be used. So it's really the wrong use of the name with respect to how that name is being used. What is the intent behind the use of the name? So you can see there are three things I'm saying that that help us understand what it is to misuse the name, the wrong use of the name. If we try to use the name to control God, then we've used the name in vain. Scriptures talk about sorcery, and what is sorcery but the attempt of sorcerers to use an incantation involving the name of God so as to get from him that which is desired. So let's turn just briefly to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. If you look down there at verse 11, Acts 19, verse 11. And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists overtook to involve the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims. Seven sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this, but the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, but who are you? And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, mastered all of them, and overpowered them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. This became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks, and fear fell upon them all. And the name of Jesus, the Lord Jesus, was extolled. Also, many of those who were now believers came confessing and divulging their practices. A number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. They counted the value of them and found it came to 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. To control God by calling upon his name for that which we want, tantamount to sorcery. we use His name in vain, or we try to get from Him that which He has not ordained that we should have. But we want it. So we use His name to get it. The second misuse of His name is to predict. To predict. False prophecy. What is a false prophet? A false prophet is one who would come and say, in the name of the Lord, thus and so. We have to be very careful, don't we, in this day and age. I'm reminded of a friend of mine who worked for a Christian senator, United States senator. I was impressed the first time I talked with him, and I said, must be great to have this golden opportunity to bear testimony in our nation of the truth of the word as it applies to decisions that need to be made. And he said, you know, that's what one would hope would happen. But I want to tell you something. Any issue, virtually, that this senator and the senators had to decide upon brought a plethora of mail, an abundance of mail. And the hotter the topic, the more the mail. I said, well, that must be encouraging to have all of those Christians who would write in and say, we're behind you. And he said, no, it wasn't. Because what happened was, on virtually any given issue, if 100 letters came saying, the Lord has shown me how you ought to vote on this, are you ready? It was virtually 50-50. 50-50. There are Christians, so named, who will argue for abortion. There are. Now, we understand the scriptures contrary to that, and we would say, that's false prophecy. We better be sure that when we begin to predict how the Word of God addresses an issue, that we have all of Scripture behind us so that we rightly represent the name of the Lord. A false prophet is one who says, thus says the Lord, and it isn't so. Harold Camping was one who fell prey to being a false prophet. I Googled him just this afternoon. And he did make a public apology for predicting the rapture to occur on October 21st, 2011. And so we owe him that. We misuse the name of the Lord when we make false predictions and we don't use the word of the Lord appropriately. We use the name of the Lord wrongly when we lie. False oath. What runs through your mind when someone says, honest to God, and then they begin to tell you something? Are you as skeptical as I am? When a person punctuates their conversation with honest to God, I confess that I begin to ask the question, when you don't say that, what are you saying? book of Leviticus, you shall not swear by my name falsely. You shall not lie to one another. There seems to be an... It's implied, doesn't it? Isn't it? But if I lie to you, or I lie to you, or I lie to you, I may well have sworn falsely by the name of the Lord. Particularly if I say, I'm a Christian. Why? Because for a Christian, my yes is to be yes. So if I say, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I say, this is what I'll do, and I don't do it, I lie. And there seems to be, according to the writer, to Moses in Leviticus, a connection with not swear by my name falsely, you shall not lie one to another. You see, because we take the name of Christian, we ought to be truthful. And so that brings us then to an understanding of the right use of the name. Understanding of the right use of the name. Let's first remember why we have names. Why we have names. When I thought about this, I thought of the numbers of times that I would purchase or we would purchase a stuffed animal or a toy doll and we would give it to one of our children. Maybe you received a stuffed doll or a stuffed animal as a child, and maybe you remember, what was the first question you were asked when you were handed that? I remember the first or second question I would ask my child after I handed that stuffed animal. What are you going to name him or her, right? Am I right? Why? Because when someone is named, someone is mine. Someone is controllable. Keith. Why? So when I say, come here, I say, Keith, and he pays attention and he comes. It's a name. Why did the Lord tell us to name the animals? We're to have dominion over them. Moses at that bush. If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they asked me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God answered Moses, I am who I am. He said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Why is he telling him Yahweh? Joel is the one prophet who first uses the phrase, and it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of Yahweh shall be saved. And then we find Paul using that same concept, don't we, in Romans 10:13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You see, God gives us his name so that we may rightly use it when we find ourselves indeed dead in our trespasses and sin. We call upon that name. Yahweh, Jesus, Savior, covenant, I am who I am, redeem me. We call on that same name when we're convicted by the spirit of sin in our lives and we cry out, confessing our sin and finding Him faithful to forgive and to cleanse. So how do we rightly use that name? It has to do with intent. We use the name to honor the one who's given us His name. Not as a sorcerer would, for our own ends, but as Jesus taught us, hallowed be your name, our Father. We share in our time of prayer for healing. When we take those concerns before the Lord, we don't say, Jesus, heal! Because we've used the name. We say, Jesus, the great physician, if it is your desire, we know that you may bring healing. And it may happen during the lifetime of the person for whom we're praying. And so we want to see, for instance, Deb's toe healed sooner rather than later. And we want to see John's hand healed so that he can wash windows again. And I wanted my hips to heal so that I could walk again. Honor the Lord, hard as it was, to wait upon Him for the healing in His good time. But more than that, I honor Him when I recognize that this healing for which I'm praying may not happen this side of glory. But one thing I know for sure and I'm confident of, when Jesus returns and I'm caught up with Him and I enter into the new heavens and the new earth, I will be healed. So I indeed can say, oh, your will be done. I know you will heal me. And we honor Him when we express our confidence that in this perishable body that we reside, one day it will put on the imperishable. So we honor Him in our sense of patience as we call upon His name to meet needs that we have in our lives. We use His name rightly when we use it to love Him. When we use it to love Him. Why did the Lord give us these commandments? He gave us these commandments because He's the one who redeemed us. He's the one who brought us out of Egypt. He's the one who loved us such that He sent His only begotten Son. Jesus would die the death that we deserve to die, that we would be delivered from the slavery to sin in which we're born, so that we might love and serve Him. And in doing so, we will have no other gods before us. We will worship as He's pleased to be worshipped. We will show love to His name. We know what it's like. Show love when we use the name of the one we loved, the one we love. Don't we? Those people whom we ask to be our spouse, when we say their name, there's something unique about how that name flows from our lips as opposed to the name of all the other names of people we know. There's a love. It's unique. That doesn't mean we don't show love as we speak to others. We use the name of those others lovingly. And how do we do that? By knowing that which pleases them and doing that for them. So we show indeed a right use of the name of the Lord. When we live by every word that proceeds from His mouth, and that word becomes that which shapes and fashions us into the image of His beloved Son, so that we can be the beautiful bride that He said we are because of the salvation we have in Him. So we take the name of the Lord lovingly upon our lips, because we reflect the love that He's shown for us. And it's interesting, isn't it? In the King James translation of that passage in Peter that talks about the wife with an unbelieving husband. Do you remember what the word is in the King James for how she is to behave toward him? No, it says in the King James, by your godly conversation, you may win him. And we know, don't we? The King James meaning of conversation isn't talking, but it's behavior. So when we behave in a way that reflects the light of God's Word illuminating our path, oh, how we honor and love His name. And we honor and love His name when we attribute to Him the things that the world attributes to sin, self, and Satan. What am I talking about? I'm talking about that passage where Jesus tells us what blasphemy of the Spirit is. Do you remember that passage? Jesus is healed by casting out a demon. And they say, well, He did that by the power of Beelzebub. And what does Jesus say? You attribute to the devil that which God does? Hardcore evolution. It's taking the name of the Lord in vain. But doing the things that we do in the marketplace and taking glory to ourselves is also taking the name of the Lord in vain. Because that which we are gifted to be able to do in the marketplace is not because our father the devil, as we're naturally born, enables us, but it's because of our Father who has adopted us into His family and redeemed us. And therefore we begin to give thanks to Him who loved us and equipped us so that we can do what we're able to do. And oh, how we love Him by how we share with those around us. We do what we do because of Him who did what He did to make us who we are. While He loved us, while we were yet dead in our trespasses and sin. Well, the counter to sorcery, the counter to false prophecy, the counter to false oaths. Use the name to set forth the truth. As we really begin to understand how truth and our telling of the truth rests in our relationship with Him who is the way, the truth, and the life. How is it that our yes can be yes and our no can be no? It's only because Jesus has redeemed us from lying. It's only as Jesus has redeemed us from lying. So we give credit to whom credit is due when we tell the truth. When we do what we say we'll do. When we are reliable. We're reliable. because of God's grace in our lives that has set us free to be reliable. Otherwise, we fall into the same trap that I shared with you that I fell into when I found my cesspool mouth cleaned up quickly. Somebody who names the name of Christ, but uses those words that I used to use. Well, how can you call yourself a Christian if you keep using those words? How can you call yourself a Christian if you're not reliable? But when it comes to being honorable, loving, and truthful all the time, as a newborn babe in Christ, as one who's matured in some 40, 50, 60 years, we know that we fall far short. And God says He won't hold us guiltless if we take His name in vain. So where are we at the end of the day? We're back at the mercy of the One who redeemed us unto Himself and who keeps us unto Himself because of His great love for us, not because we've cleaned our cesspool mouth up or because we've become reliable, but He's cleaned up our cesspool mouth. And He's the one who enables us to be reliable. And when we fail in any of those, it's because we have failed to remember who we are in Christ Jesus and rest faithfully in His grace and His mercy. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. I'm the one who says, you shall not have other gods. You shall not have idols. You shall not use my name falsely. Why? Because you're mine. And when you do, you'll confess and you'll enjoy again my forgiveness and my grace and the washing away of that sin. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we may be a healthy and growing congregation following your leading so that we honor you with our lips and our life because of the great salvation that we enjoy in Christ Jesus. Amen.